Fixed rate of pay for murdering the assassin is an expert, so you know that he stayed with the burner. From buying Glocks to LSD psych ops, I'm a rhymasonic log to the private blogger Adam Weishaupt. Public enemy caught in the shooter's lobby, the real life Luca Brasi. So fuck you and the Illuminati. Spray with the milk, traded the filth. A tray ate some cocaine and some pills. Stay chill, super groupies wanna get raped and scraping the grill. Duct tape the film, I cut to the chase and I drill. This that murder world animal funk. A brand you can trust, like Phil Knight. Listen how we're banging in trunk.
The darkness that surrounds us can't hurt us. It's the darkness in the heart of our soul that turns us into murderers. Even though we gutter, we still gotta reach for the stars. Peace to the gods, now speak to the crumbs. The darkness that surrounds us can't hurt us. It's the darkness in the heart of our soul that turns us into murderers. Even though we gutter, we still gotta reach for the stars. Peace to the gods, now speak to the crumbs.
Political assassination by the interception and destruction of the assassin himself.
Good evening. Our top story tonight remains the assassination.
Yeah. They say that doomsday was written in an alien Bible, an algebraic code signaling the day of reprisal. I paid a toll, homemade weapons, race crazy glue to toothbrushes, two suspects, no arrest, Kool-Aid smiles and whole grudges. Excited death squads, Knights of Templar, the lights Kevlar, the finest champagne, write your memoirs. They tried to extradite him for running guns, so he faked his own death and had plastic surgery in Colombia. The last of the cast iron, blast fire, anti-accidental billion. Amongst the vampires, protest is not disturbing the peace. There's no peace, it's disturbing the war, murder the law. Secret police, plain clothes, FBI earpiece. Work the crowd with sunglasses on beach. Have banana clip at the bar, the AK under the dinner table. We innovative, so we'll survive after everything else is disintegrated.
The darkness that surrounds us can't hurt us. It's the darkness in the heart of our soul that turns us into murderers. Even though we gutter, we still gotta reach for the stars. Peace to the gods, I speak to the crumbs. The darkness that surrounds us can't hurt us. It's the darkness in the heart of our soul that turns us into murderers. Even though we gutter, we still gotta reach for the stars. Peace to the gods, I speak to the crumbs.
That ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
One ant.
You're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
Now here's a story about a woman with dreams. So picture perfect at 13 and Ebony Queen. Beneath the surface it was more than just a crooked smile. Nobody knew about a secret, so it took a while. I could see a tear fall slow down a black cheek, shedding quiet tears in the backseat. So when she asked me, what would you do if it was you? Couldn't answer, such a horrible pain to live through. I tried to trade places in the tragedy. I couldn't picture three crazed niggas grabbing me. For just a moment I was trapped in the pain. Lord come and take me, for niggas violated, they chased the they rape me, even though it wasn't me. I could feel the grief thinking with your brains blown. That would make the pain go no. You gotta find a way to survive, cause they win when your soul dies. Baby, please don't cry. I gotta keep your head up, even when the road is hard. Never give up, baby, don't cry. You gotta keep your head up, even when the road is hard. Never give up, baby, don't cry. I hope you got your head up, even when the road is hard. Never give up, baby, don't cry. I hope you got your head up, even when the road is hard. Never give up, baby, don't cry.
And good morning, CKLN listeners. It is the 17th day of November 2010. Actually, the 18th day of November 2010. You're listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening. Thanks again to Miss Natasha Von Castle for your four-hour soul experience. She's among the best soul repair experts in the world. So if you got a soul out there that don't seem to be working so good, then Ms. Von Castle can certainly take care of that and help you handle your business. And here on CKLN's Rude Awakening is your host, BK, a.k.a. VJ, on 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. I try and go through a number of explanations for what some of the issues with our souls issues are, and I try and go through some of the ways to repair that. And the explanations that I have to offer involve a bigger picture, a system created by the super rich people. We've heard for years, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer, it sucks. But we often don't hear or figure out why. And so here on CKLN FM on Mondays and Thursdays, on your Rude Awakening show, morning show from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern Time, I, as your host, BK, a.k.a. VJ, a.k.a. Black Krishna, a.k.a. VJ Sarma, try and break that down for you. And the level of scientific indoctrination engineered by the New World Order, the forces behind globalization, the central banksters and multinational corporation CEOs of the world and their assorted minions and secret societies and think tanks and foundations and so on. The system they've set up has been so pervasive that I actually had to split my personality a couple years ago. Have one, VJ for the family and for old friends and for sort of normal, you know, and work-related situations. And then BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, who comes at things with a much more revolutionary perspective. So if you call me one, you'll get, you know, a certain answer, and I'll know to answer you that way. If you call me the other, then I'll know to answer you that way. And I'm more comfortable with BK just because it's the reality that I see that has been created over the last few hundred years. And then people go, you're crazy. You know, people you say, oh, you're crazy. You're crazy, man. You're out of your mind. You're crazy. It's not that bad. You know, you're exaggerating. And then you keep talking that issue. They're going to kill you, man. And I was like, well, which one is it? Am I crazy? Am I totally wrong? Or if I keep talking this issue, they're going to kill me. Because if it's the former, then who cares? And if it's the latter, well, then you better. I mean, hey, that makes sense, right? Makes sense to me, and it should make sense to you. But I'm going to take it back a little ways. Start off with DJ Muggs versus Ill Bill, Cult Assassin. The darkness that surrounds us can't hurt us. It's the darkness in the heart of our soul that turns us into murderers. Even though we gutter, we still got to reach for the stars. Peace to the gods, now speak to the cross. Or something like that. And that's Ill Bill, MC from nonfiction fame out of New York. Who's a great, anti-New World Order MC, working with DJ Muggs of Cypress Hill fame. And I got to tell you, that song, Cult Assassin, blows my mind. I love it. But what is the darkness in the hearts of our souls? There's a concept out there in Christianity, and it was also picked up later by Freud. It's sort of original sin. You know, we're all born sinners, and then we all spend the rest of our lives trying to repent for that. I'm not a fan of that concept. I'm not a fan of its use in religion. Although, hey, I'm not trying to crap on anybody's religion. It's just, keep in mind, it's a 2,000-year-old religion. So you got to look for influences on that religion that may have altered some of its better teachings and goals. I mean, it's called the Roman Catholic Church. Roman, as in the Roman Empire. Or the King James Bible, as in King of England. As in, you know, what was his agenda when he rewrote the Bible, or when he had, you know, his minions do so. So, and same thing with Sigmund Freud. Sigmund Freud is a hero of many psychologists and psychology students out there and therapists out there. But he based everything on sex. Everything's a result of some sort of sexual dysfunction or sexual drive. And he also said that man was naturally an animal. And if we didn't control our natural, crazy animal instincts, then we would be, you know, just horrible people and do all sorts of horrible things. And these type of you know, these type of assumptions about us being inherently flawed allow us to be more easily controlled. Imagine it out of the macro level, out of the macro social engineering perspective, and stick it in a relationship context. If you, you know, are always telling your kids or your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your husband or your wife that they're scum and that they always have to fight through the fact that they're scum, then it's a lot easier for you to control them. Because, you know, you're in the situation where you're one of the people that can help them, you know, deal with them being fundamentally flawed. And they feel perpetually weaker for being fundamentally flawed all the time. Now, this is something that's done. This is something that that people do individually. Tragically, it's something that governments and cultures do to suppress and control their people. It's even in online speak, where you're supposed to say IMHO, in my humble opinion. Or, you know, you're supposed to look at the recent, Prince William and Kate Middleton marriage. And you're supposed to say what you're supposed to say on Twitter, which is, oh, congratulations, Kate and Wills. I wish it was me. Smiley face. You know, and they can standardize a simplicity of thought and what we're supposed to say to the point where we don't think we can say anything more than what we're supposed to and what we know is safe to. And again, that progressively weakens us. On that note, I'm going to take you I'm going to take you to a short clip from Alan Watt from cuttingthroughthematrix.com, before I break down a slightly longer clip from Aldous Huxley, the author of Brave New World. Why? Well, because these are two, you know, Alan Watt at cuttingthroughthematrix.com is one of the best at explaining the big picture, can tie this stuff back for hundreds of years. And he's a guy that often says, I've read their old books. They wrote all this down. It was in H.G. Wells' books. It was in Bertrand Russell books. Bertrand Russell said at one point, the thought of man rebelling against those in control would be as ludicrous as the idea of sheep's rebelling against the practice of eating mutton or cows rebelling against the practice of eating hamburgers. So that's what they've been trying to turn us into for the last, you know, 100-odd years. And that's why you get people like me on the radio, like Alex Jones at Infowars.com, and many others out there hopping up and down like lunatics when, you know, we're supposed to be really chilled out and enjoying ourselves. I'm going to let Alan Watt break down what's been going on in Germany recently. It's going on worldwide, and this is the selling of pedophilia to parents and society at large. Very, very dangerous stuff to look out for.
Back to Germany. As I say, there are certain people who just don't like Germany at all. They've got an awful thing about it, and they want to totally degrade them further in case they get any ideas of being German again. And it says here, Berlin, July the 30th, 2007. I read this at the time, but this is ongoing, by the way. Booklets from a subsidiary of the German government's Ministry for Family Affairs. This is from the Ministry of Family Affairs, right? Over in the big Sovietized system they call Europe, you have a Ministry for Family Affairs. You have ministries for everything, you know. Encourage parents to sexually massage their children as young as 1 to 3 years of age. I read this at the time in collusion with the United Nations pamphlet. They put out the booklet, they put out on the same thing. They wanted communal masturbation in schools. That's a fact. That's a fact. They dished that out across the states too, in different places as well. Anyway, 2 40-page booklets entitled Love, Body and Playing Doctor by German Federal Health Education Center are aimed at parents, the first addressing children from 1 to 3 and the other children from 4 to 6 years of age. Fathers do not devote enough attention to the clitoris and vagina of their daughters, it says. The caresses too seldom pertain to these regions. Well, this is the only way the girls can develop a sense of pride in their sex, reads the booklet regarding 1 to 3-year-olds. The authors rationalize the child touches all parts of their father's body, sometimes arousing him. The father should do the same. I'm not kidding. This is what they're promoting. And this comes, by the way, just mention it here, but it's from the United Nations. This is Canadian author and public speaker Michael O'Brien, who's written and spoken extensively about the crisis of culture in the West, spoke to LifeSet News.com about the shocking and extremely disturbing phenomenon. It is, he said, state-encouraged incest. And of course it is, yeah. Which in most civilized societies is a crime. The development is, he suggests, a natural outcome of the rejection of religion, he goes on to say, which gave a moral order. The imposed social revolution that has swept the Western world is moving to a new stage as it works out the logical sequences off its view of man's value, said O'Brien. It's merely obeying a strictly materialistic philosophy of man. If man is no more than a creature created for pleasure or power, if he's no more than a cell in the social organism, then no, there's no moral standards, no psychological truths, no spiritual truths can refute the will to power and the will to pleasure. And this goes on and on and on what parents should do and should not do and so on. You can read it for yourself. I'll put it up on the site for you, and you can read it for yourself. That's, and I know where it's all coming from too, and the reasons behind it. But you don't, I'm sure, unless you do your homework. And you should do your homework.
And we're back here, CKLN listeners. Again, that was Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com from the 16th of November, yesterday, 2010, talking a bit about the plans of the UN and UNESCO. As Charlotte Iserby from DeliberateDumbingDown.com, Charlotte Iserby, I-S-E-R-B-Y-T, an expert on education and the failures of education, has said, if it has the word education in it, then it's social engineering. It's not education. So, for example, sex education, death education, math is just math. English is just English. But when it comes to suicide education, you know, whatever, they have all these, these ways of introducing ways to change the way we think over time. And while they say they're actually trying to prevent things like suicide and prevent, you know, children from having sex early, in fact, they introduce these ideas to them for the opposite effect. And teachers don't know this. There's a lot of good teachers out there that are caught. Now, they'll complain about their profession, but many of them won't look into the bigger picture. But if you're a parent out there, if you're a teacher out there, if you can, you know, stomach this, and if you can try and find ways to resist it, go to DeliberateDumbingDown.com. Look at the work of Charlotte Iserby for more on that. And it's amazing. So Mr. Watts talked about, you know, what's the pedophile education there. And this accomplishes a number of things. It perverts out parents. It destroys traditional cultural values. It weakens us all as a society. And it's being introduced more and more and more. And as Alex Jones and the InfoWars team have been talking about with respect to the TSA, the Transportation Safety Authority in the U.S., an agency only started up after the 9/11 attacks so they could, you know, freshly create new forms of tyranny and not have to sort of rework old state bureaucracies. TSA was formed, the Department of Homeland Security, all created after the 9/11 attacks in 2001, with the goal of beating down the American people, and parallel agencies and programs are taking place worldwide through the system of globalization, run by central bankers who print fiat money from nothing, loan it to governments around the world, indebt them, and force them to pay it back, while those countries and governments cede more and more control to the international oligarchs. So, so why would they want to do this? Well, they're trying to degrade all of us. They're trying to degrade all of us to make us easier to control, to make us weaker and easier to control. Try to degrade guys, try to degrade women. It also separates the kids, because then you don't feel like playing with your kids or hugging your kids, and strangers certainly don't. And if I look at a kid, I'm always like, oh, geez, what is the parent thinking? You know, it's all just craziness. And then the kids get more isolated, and they don't get as much natural affection, and then they are easier prey for the state, including with games like Call of Duty, Black Ops out there, where there's scenes of torture, where they make a guy eat glass and then they punch him in the mouth, as I heard recently on the Alex Jones show. I'm all normalizing it for the next generation of weak-minded lunatics to lord over us, which is why we've got to fight this. But I talk really fast. You don't think I'm lying, but I still got to prove it to you. When I say they said it, I mean they said it. And so I'm taking you to a clip from 1962. This is author Aldous Huxley of Brave New World fame talking about the ultimate revolution, how long they've been planning it, where he saw it coming from, and where he saw it going back in 1962.
Well, now, in regard to this problem of the ultimate revolution, this has been very well summed up by the moderator. In the past, we can say that all revolutions have essentially aimed at changing the environment in order to change the individual. I mean, there's been the political revolution, the economic revolution. In the time of the Reformation, the religious revolution, all these aimed, as I say, not directly at the human being, but at his surroundings, so that by modifying the surroundings, you did achieve, at one remove, an effect upon the human being. Today, we are faced, I think, with the approach of what may be called the ultimate revolution, the final revolution, where a man can act directly on the mind-body of his fellows. Well, needless to say, some kind of direct action on human mind-bodies has been going on since the beginning of time. But this has generally been of a violent nature. The techniques of terrorism have been known from time immemorial, and people have employed them with more or less ingenuity, sometimes with the utmost crudity, sometimes with a good deal of skill acquired by a process of trial and error, finding out what the best ways of using torture, imprisonment, constraints of various kinds. I think it was Metternich said many years ago, you can do everything with bayonets except sit on them. That if you are going to control any population for any length of time, you must have some measure of consent. It's exceedingly difficult to see how pure terrorism can function indefinitely. It can function for a fairly long time, but I think sooner or later you have to bring in an element of persuasion, an element of getting people to consent to what is happening to them. Well, it seems to me that the nature of the ultimate revolution with which we are now faced is precisely this, that we are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchy, who have always existed and presumably always will exist, to get people actually to love their servitude. This is seems to me the ultimate in malevolent revolution, shall we say. And this is a problem which has interested me for many years, and about which I wrote 30 years ago a fable, The Brave New World, which is essentially the account of a society making use of all the devices at that time available, and some of the devices which I imagined to be possible, making use of them in order to, first of all, to standardize the population, to iron out inconvenient human differences, to create, so to say, mass-produced models of human beings arranged in some kind of a scientific caste system. And since then, I have continued to be extremely interested in this problem, and I have noticed with increasing dismay that a number of the predictions which were purely fantastic when I made them 30 years ago have come true or seem in process of coming true, that a number of techniques about which I talked seem to be here already, and that there seems to be a general movement in the direction of this kind of ultimate revolution, this method of control by which people can be made to enjoy a state of affairs which, by any decent standard, they ought not to enjoy. The enjoyment of servitude. Well, this process, as I say, has gone on for over the years, and I become more and more interested in what is happening. And here I would like briefly to compare the parable of Brave New World with another parable, which was put forth more recently, in George Orwell's book, 1984. Orwell wrote his book between 45 and 48, at the time when the Stalinist terror regime was still in full swing, and just after the collapse of the Hitlerian terror regime. And his book, which I admire greatly, it's a book of very great talent and extraordinary ingenuity, shows, is so to say a projection into the future of the immediate past, of what for him was the immediate past, and the immediate present. It was a projection into the future of a society where control was exercised wholly by terrorism and the violent attacks upon the mind body of individuals. Whereas my own book, which was written in 1932, when there was only a mild dictatorship in the form of Mussolini in existence, was not overshadowed by the idea of terrorism, and I was therefore free, in a way which Orwell was not free, to think about these other methods of control, these non-violent methods. And I'm inclined to think that the scientific dictatorships of the future, and I think there are going to be scientific dictatorships in many parts of the world, will be probably a good deal nearer to the Brave New World pattern than to the 1984 pattern. They will be a good deal nearer, not because of any humanitarian qualms in the scientific dictators, but simply because the Brave New World pattern is probably a good deal more efficient than the other. That if you can get people to consent to the state of affairs in which they are living, the state of servitude, the state of being, having their differences ironed out and being made amenable to mass production methods on the social level, if you can do this, then you are likely to have a much more stable, a much more lasting society, a much more easily controllable society than you would if you were relying wholly on clubs and firing squads and concentration camps. So that my own feeling is that the 1984 picture was tinged, of course, by the immediate past and the present in which Orwell was living, but that the past and present of those years does not represent, I feel, the likely trend of what is going to happen. Needless to say, we shall never get rid of terrorism. This will always find its way to the surface. But I think that insofar as dictators become more and more scientific, more and more concerned with a technically perfectly running society, they will be more and more interested in the kind of techniques which I imagined and described from existing realities in Brave New World.
And we're back, folks. That was, again, author Aldous Huxley, the author of Brave New World, speaking at Berkeley University in California on March 20th, 1962. And you heard Mr. Huxley, whose brother Julian Huxley headed UNESCO, which is the United Nations Organization to Standardize Education Worldwide, behind, the standardization of education worldwide, including the teaching of pedophilia in schools and even the recent sex education scandal in Canada and Ontario. Just this past summer, where McGuinty's government was forced to scale back plans to introduce a lot of sex education into our curriculums because so many parents objected. And that's the good news. Well, you know, I got some news for you on Huxley. He died a year later in 1963 of cancer. May have been cancer, may have been the New World Order saying, stop talking about this sort of thing. Stop revealing the fact that you didn't write a science fiction novel. You created a playbook for how to manage societies. And I read Brave New World back in high school. I just thought it was an okay science fiction novel. I didn't realize it was something I was supposed to be brainwashed with. But it was, it is, as most of our culture is. And you can see a lot of this happening now worldwide. So you got Huxley, who wrote Brave New World, and later Brave New World Revisited, which is sort of a nonfiction version of this. And then you see him in 1962, towards the end of his life, as an older gentleman, sort of coming clean on the fact that governments are behind terrorism, which is why he says in his quaint British neuro-linguistic programming voice, we will never get rid of terrorism. You can always see that methods of terrorism used to suppress populations have been done for thousands of years, and that sort of thing. And he's basically talking about how to control people. So when Huxley talked about terrorism at Berkeley in 62, he was talking about governments using terrorism to control people. Yeah, can you believe that? Unbelievable. And that was back in 62. Before I continue into this rant and break down as many things as I can in the short time I have here on air on Mondays and Thursday mornings and on this Thursday, November 18th, 2010, I do want to shout out conspiracyculture.com and the Conspiracy Culture book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles. They're having a screening of the film What in the World Are They Spraying, about the chemtrail issue and geoengineering, at the Bloor Cinema on Saturday. Mr. Patrick has authorized me to give away two tickets to my listeners. Email me at blackkrishna@gmail.com, blackkrishna@gmail.com. If you'd like two tickets, I'll get your name on the guest list. Do it by today, and I'll get you the tickets. First one I hear from is the first one who gets tickets. Or call me, 647-857-5755, if you'd like, and I'll hook you up. But, despite the fact that there has been this massive social engineering project through our food, through injections, through injunctions, through our cultural socialization, we are rebelling against this. And so I'm going to take you to Alex Jones, the Infowars.com team, talking again about the revolt against the TSA, the Transportation Safety Authority, and the naked body scanners and the groping of flyers if they
Steve
refuse.
Watson is writing a detailed report right now for PrisonPlanet.com and Infowars.com that is the most important piece of the puzzle in this ongoing saga. Now, for those that ask, why do you cover this so much? Because it's now one of, if not the biggest stories in the world. It's a substantive story forced out into the mainstream by the alternative media. And if the globalists are able to put these naked body scanners in all the airports and train us to submit to it, and train us to submit to having our women and children have their crotches and breasts grabbed, and ourselves having our crotches grabbed, they can get away with anything. This is social conditioning, period, and Homeland Security now admits that. But just about 30 minutes ago, live on CNN, we'll play this clip when we come back, they had Mr. Pistol, the head of the TSA, on, the minion of Big Sis, Janet Napolitano. And the reporter said, well, why do you trust a pilot to fly a plane, but you want to frisk them and touch their genitals? And the head of the TSA, when confronted with common sense, see, they try to just get away with this stuff, and they know the more brazen, the more they can get away with, the more you'll accept in the future. We're being brought into submission. We're being dominated. So Mr. Pistol, the head of the TSA, says, well, yes, I don't want to announce this now, but he's like a deer in the headlights, hit with common sense. And notice, just CNN 2 weeks ago was saying how great the naked body scans were. They were saying how great it was to be frisked. But now they have a Reuters poll. 97% of over 60,000 respondents say that they are not going to fly because of this. CNN admits they're losing over $9 billion a year just in lost travel, and I'll guarantee it's worse than that in the U.S. alone. Foreign travel to the U.S. is down by over a third, killing commerce, killing tourism. That's the plan. So I want to walk through why this is so important, but there they are, starting to capitulate. okay, yes, the pilots are trusted. Yes, they do fly the plane. I don't want to make the announcement now, but yes, we're getting ready to, you know, have lighter frisk of them. Because you see, this is a strike, a worker strike. If the flight attendants and pilots say, you know what, I'm not having some minimum wage person on a power trip grab my genitals. That's already happening. All the major unions are saying it's over. And they went into meetings Friday with Napolitano, and she said, I don't care, it all is going to continue. And now she put out a USA Today report today that is all lies. And I got in this morning and I was reading it. I got in about 7:30 this morning here to the office. And it's just all lies. And it made my head spin because there's so many lies. Like she says, John Hopkins University has certified that the scanners are safe. And I went, wait a minute, I just read John Hopkins in the French news agency, their radiation department, radiology department, saying these things are very dangerous. And then I dug in my stack, and there it was. It's all lies. Wait till I go. I mean, that's the big scandal, is how much disdain they have for us. We're going to cover it when we come back. This is big.
With all the sex distressing, the question I wonder is after death, after my last breath, when will I finally get to rest through this suppression? They punish the people that's asking questions and those that possess, still from the ones without possessions, the message I stress. To make it stop, study your lessons, don't settle for less. Even the genius asks questions, be grateful for blessings. Don't ever change, keep your essence, the power is in the people and politics we address. Always do your best, don't let the pressure make you panic. And when you get stranded and things don't go the way you planned it, dreaming of riches, in a position to making a difference. Politicians are hypocrites, they don't want to listen. If I'm insane, it's the fame made a brother change. It wasn't nothing like the game, it's just me against the world.
Is he thinking he this time?
We're back, CKLA listeners.
Platinum. You don't think you're crossing the
I gotta
dude.
Tell you, huh? It's impressive stuff when we're revolting, despite the fact that we've been scientifically indoctrinated and brainwashed for 100 years. I'm pretty impressed. I'm pretty impressed. What the hell?
I want the beat till I burn. Since me and boy, your kids from the lessons I learned. And in turn, I'm hostile. Guess you could call me antisocial. Niggas shaking like they caught the Holy Ghost. When I approach them, try to politic before I smoke them. Like Sun Tzu. Niggas doing to these stitches before it's done to you. And if the cops come arrest me in the evening, best believe they're coming for my dogs in the morning.
So what's going on? What's AJ talking about? Well, AJ's talking about people revolting like crazy against the oppression of the government at airports. And we've talked about how it sucked to fly at airports for a couple of years now, since the super anti-terror measures have come in. And yet, as Bob McElvain, victim's family, 9/11 victim's family member, whose son died in the 9/11 attack, said, no one knows what Al-Qaeda is. Al-Qaeda is kind of like Cobra. It's this crazy, you know, fictional, you know, construct that the government, the U.S. government, governments worldwide, and the media bring up whenever they want to justify taking away our rights and abusing us. And so it's impressive that we're scrapping against this. And part of this is a result of cognitive dissonance. I'm at henrymackow.com here, Henry, M-A-K-O-W, henrymackow.com, and this is an article by Henry Macko. The dictionary tells us that cognitive dissonance is a feeling of discomfort that comes from holding two contradictory ideas at the same time, unquote. For example, in the movie Chicago, when a wife catches her husband in bed with two women, he insists that he is alone. Quote, what do you mean, she says? I can see two women. His reply, believe what I tell you, not what you see. Naturally, the woman had cognitive dissonance. She also had a gun and resolved the contradiction by shooting her husband. Chicago is a revelation of the Illuminati method. They instruct us to believe what we are told instead of what our eyes, ears, and common sense tell us. The what we are told is a satanic spell cast by the Illuminati, a satanic cult led by Kabbalist Jews and Masons that controls most of our information, education, and so-called culture by funding an army of opportunists and dupes. As you know, this cult derives its power from the central banking cartel, which is using its monopoly over government credit to gain a monopoly over everything on earth. Wealth, power, mind, and spirit. Humanity is under a satanic spell that consists of lies and corruption, i.e. deceit and decadence. And just as a note for Dr. Macko, he is Jewish, and he also stresses whenever he's asked or whenever it comes up, the idea that there are certain secret society religions out there that the people at the top subscribe to. They're known as the mystery religions. One of them might be Kabbalah. Another one might be just other forms of Satanism throughout the years, sun worship, Freemasonry, you know, is a possibility. But keep in mind here that all of this is getting normalized in our culture, so we do have to do something about it. In my own Gmail account, I got an advertisement for VictorianLodges.ca, which is a local Toronto Masonic organization chapter here. And I'm like, okay, so this is a little Google ad in my Gmail account saying, you know, if you want to, you know, if you think you're interested, come join the Freemasons. But, you know, as I've told you about the Canadian Cancer Society at cancer.ca, they say, based on, this is a quote, based on 2009 incidence rates, 40% of Canadian women and 45% of men will develop cancer during their lifetimes. An estimated 1 out of every 4 Canadians are expected to die from cancer. And this is at cancer.ca. So whether you're a Freemason or just a, you know, a real hardcore establishment, corporate crock-sucking, you know, wannabe, keep in mind that they're not, you know, telling you about this. They're not telling you how they're nailing us all with cancer. They're not telling us what the cumulative effect of the cell phones, the cell phone towers, the microwave radiation, the GMO foods, the vaccines, the fluoride in our water, the arsenic and lead in our water, and everything else is doing to us with respect to our health. But it's doing a lot to us, and that's something that we've got to pay attention to. And hopefully the Beats here by Quiet Storm Beats, that's Beats with a Z, Toronto producer, is helping you digest some of this as I rant and rave about it. And so what can we do? Well, back to my blog where I quote some of these things here. I noticed that the Toronto Environmental Alliance, TEA, whose executive director, Franz Hartman's on my spit list, because he's oft quoted and they're big, you know, climate change Holocaust promoters, while ignoring all the real environmental issues that affect our health and affect the health of the planet, instead of worrying about the weather, what the weather might be in 20 years. They can get it right for 2 weekends in a row, I'm down. But otherwise, keep in mind that the recession is man-made by, you know, evil international bankers, and climate change is natural, based mostly on the effects of the sun. But a lot of these NWO/NGO groups really have their stuff together when it comes to getting organized. They really do. And so, you know, this is an example. They have council voting records. It says report card 2010. And if you go to their site at torontoenvironment.org, you can see their council voting records where they judge council members of Toronto City Council on their on how green they are. And Mayor Miller was an exceptionally green mayor. Rob Ford is fortunately not as taken in by that, being a conservative. He might be taken in by a few other things, wants to hire another 100 cops. We've got him hanging out at construction sites with 8 construction workers who don't need a cop there. And yet many people say, you know, you can't get one if you call one. So, you know, this is what's going on. With respect to how our resources are being misused by either the left or the right. So back to the Toronto Environmental Alliance here. Their council voting records. Why can't we have NWO council voting records for 2011? Where we say, you know what, how about we judge them on what they're doing about, you know, the serious issues that affect all of us on a daily basis, the toxins in our environments that are causing half of us, you know, let's say, to get cancer and a quarter of us to die from it, according to our very own Canadian Cancer Society, who might be padding their stats for more donations. But you know what? It's something like that. And it's all planned. And of course, as Aldous Huxley from Brave New World fame said earlier in the clip from his talk at Berkeley, it is part there is another plan to make us unable to or less able to beat this. But fortunately, as Joan said about the TSA, people are fighting back. A quick check of Infowars.com here says from a Department of Homeland Security source, the Transportation Safety Authority is infuriated with coverage of nationwide backlash. Now, keep in mind, here in Communist Canada, we can't just, you know, wait for the media to act. We can't wait for individual journalists to try and pitch stories that might cost them their jobs and never see the television airwaves or print. They need to have a reason, and that reason has to be Canadians are upset about it. Canadians are going off on it. And still here at Infowars.com, TSA hit with lawsuits as revolt explodes. Excuse me. As revolt explodes and as more and more people are coming out. And that includes the public, that includes members of the travel industry, and that includes members of the media reacting to what members of the public and travel industry are doing. And, of course, the independent media out there. So keep in mind, it is possible to rebel against these things. We've seen examples here in Canada as well on these issues. A History of Health Tyranny, Codex Alimentarius, Part 1, from the Activist Post here. Another article worth reading. It's a little long, won't go through it right now here, but it says here, contrary to popular belief, Codex Alimentarius is neither a law nor a policy. It is, in fact, a functioning body, a commission created by the Food and Agricultural Organization and the World Health Organization under the direction of the United Nations. The confusion in this regard is largely due to statements made by many critics referring to the, quote, implementation of Codex Alimentarius as if it were legislation waiting to come into effect. And Codex Alimentarius was started by an ex-Bayer Pharmaceuticals, a top executive, when Bayer was making gas, Zyklon B gas, for the Nazis in World War II. And so he served a little bit of time, served about 6 years for doing that after World War II, came out in, 1951 or so, and went to the UN and said, hey, wouldn't it be great to control the world's food supply? You guys are into that sort of controlling the world thing. And the UN went, yeah, absolutely. And he goes, well, how about this idea? And they created Codex Alimentarius, a governing body for the world's food supply back in 1962. You can go to codexalimentarius.net, to read their own website to see what they're up to and what they've been up to for the last 40 years. And they have legislation. Here it was Bill C-51 and C-52, and then it was Bill C-6, and then it was, before that it was something else, Bill C-4, I think. And now it's back as Bill C-36, which is basically going to put Canada under Codex Alimentarius guidelines. If it goes through. So it's been killed 3 or 4 times in this country. Keep in mind, we do have victories. There are people out there speaking up. We just got to go for broke because they just keep coming at us and they keep weakening our ability to fight back, they being the central banksters behind the New World Order system of globalization. Before I give the floor over to Monsignor Bill Watsoni, Mr. Bill Watson, for your 4-hour jazz bungee experience, an experience you will not forget as he takes you on a wild ride through the jazzy verse. Break down a couple of final notes and shout out a couple of websites here. from thestar.com, climate bill, commons crushed in one blow. In the United States, the climate change bill was crushed, and here in Canada, the climate change bill was crushed. And so this is good news, and this is Bill C-311 here, was a completely irresponsible bill. It sets out irresponsible targets, does not lay out any measure of achieving them other than by shutting down sections of the Canadian economy and throwing hundreds of thousands and possibly millions of people out of work, said our very own Prime Minister Stephen Harper. Now, I don't like Harper. I think he's a bad guy. Most of us don't like him. But he does have to play to some people on the right who know what's going on. So do keep in mind that the party in power, whoever it is, left or right, is going to have more lies told to them and or by them to their followers from their media and from their politicians. And so currently, you'll see Geraldo Rivera talking about Building 7 on Fox News, as I've mentioned on the show a couple times because it's a huge media breakthrough. Glenn Beck on Fox as well talking about Obama staging some false flag terror to raise his popularity and so on. And you'll see the right wing nailing climate change and global warming really well, including the National Post publishing the ClimateGate scandal emails from November 20th, 2009, which revealed that the top climate change scientists know they're lying and talk about how to lie better and how to profit more from it. And on and on and on. So tons and tons and tons of stuff going on there. From the Metro, it says here, studying, it pays off. Talk about bribing kids with cash. Look, let's understand something. Kids don't control what they're taught, what they're fed. So let's focus on that a bit more. Because I got to tell you, if you focus more on reading, running monthly or working out, or whatever, then on the health of your kids and looking into the dangers of vaccines and genetically modified foods and aspartame and MSG and how it makes them hyper and how they're going to get thrown on dangerous psychiatric drugs and possibly into the new 27-acre CAMH going up at Queen and Ossington in the next year or so. If you look, let me tell you, a messed up kid will cause you way more problems than a nice ass can fix. So do keep that in mind out there, and let's get some of our priorities straight. Before I go, a couple of websites to shout out to help us do that. Infowars.com for much more on this. Naturalnews.com for some of the best health information, including on all the pink washing out there. Don't get fooled by all the pink washing, ladies and gentlemen, because this is basically a propaganda preparing us for a lot more people getting breast cancer when it doesn't have to happen if we get hip to who's making it happen and to healthy options for us to help us prevent it and options for us to organize to get our elected officials to do something about this as well. So, naturalnews.com, a great site out there. Vigilantcitizen.com for an excellent understanding of how the culture creation industry, Hollywood, the music industry is controlled and what their goals are so we can resist them. You can still enjoy the music. You hear music every Monday and Thursday on this show, and you hear it a lot here on CKLN Radio, but I definitely immunize myself against some of the negative messages in that music, or I try to, and it's through trying to that I at least achieve some aspects of that. VRAN.org to get vaccine exemption forms. Very, very important. FluorideAlert.org on the fluoride issue. We'll have much more on that coming up in the show. It's not just fluoride. It's scraped out of the inside of chimneys. So it's fluoride, lead, arsenic, and more. If someone was at a kindergarten trying to feed a kid this and there was a cop there, you could reasonably say to the cop, hey, shoot that guy. And while I'm not calling for any violence, I am calling for us to get our elected officials to tell the cops, shut them down or shoot them when it comes to the people poisoning us on all levels, including with the fluoride in our drinking water, which Montreal and Vancouver and most of Europe and most sensible people who know about it around the world don't use. Locally, got to check out TorontoTruthSeekers.com, one of the most active groups, getting closer to 500 members right now in the city of Toronto. An impressive, impressive feat. Been on the streets every Saturday since July of 2009. Press for FOR, truth.ca, pressfortruth.ca. New teaser for the film Into the Fire about the recent G20 shenanigans. Do not forget the traveling circus of tyranny that is the G20, a representative of world government, something that we have to resist here in Canada as a sovereign country, and something that we have to resist here in Toronto and individually as a sovereignish city and sovereignish people who are trying to preserve our individuality and our ability to control where we live and who we are. So check out pressfortruth.ca. ConspiracyCulture.com. Again, the screening of What in the World Are They Spraying about the chemtrails and geoengineering, serious health effects associated with that, as well as a mass sedation of the public. Been done before. They've sprayed us before. They've been caught. They've been sued. It just doesn't get covered much. And then these chemtrails aren't. So definitely tell your friends about What in the World Are They Spraying. Go to ConspiracyCulture.com for more details. The Blur Cinema for the show on Saturday night, and email me, blackkrishna@gmail.com. If you'd like two free tickets, the first person to email me gets them, blackkrishna@gmail.com. I'm out of here, folks. It's been a fantastic Thursday morning, November 18, 2010. Have yourselves a great day. Have yourselves a fantastic weekend. Worry not about what's happened. Just figure it out and then get confident about what we can do about it for the future. Peace out, everybody.
Hey, before we go into the song, I know everybody love their mama, but I want to talk about something else first. I want to talk about the people that don't have their mama no more, because we all sometimes forget to appreciate our mothers. But like my little homeboy Mutar, he don't got no mother today. While we all shedding smiles and being happy, they can't be happy because they don't got no mama. What Danny Boy, he's singing off for all of y'all mama. Danny Boy out here making everybody feel good. He ain't got no mama to hug him. We got to get back to that old school shit where we all care for everybody and all of us raise all these kids because we all out of hand. So last year about this time, I was sitting in a maximum security penitentiary. I couldn't sing this song for my mama. But I'm gonna do it today for all y'all and all y'all mama. Dear mama. Even. When I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the streets. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school and scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. And shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poorer than the other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, same drama when things went wrong, we blame mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who think in elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whooping to my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black fiend.